Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I have Double Impact on my TV.
Oh, you're watching Double Impact right now.
I have it on mute. But yes, if I get distracted, it's because I'm watching that.
You're not missing much dialogue.
You don't need
there's I think almost none that you have to pay attention to.
I think Bolo that's a talk.
I think I'm conflating with Deep Impact. That's not the movie you're talking
that
about.
That one you really need dialogue impact, for. Imagine two comets.
Double Deep Impact. I've seen that video before.
Damn face.
I've seen that video before many times.
What's better than one Van Damme? Two Van Dammes. What's better than one comet? Two comets.
I mean, you're not wrong.
The IFC channel has had a Van Damme renaissance.
Oh.
Last week, they had Death Warrant. This morning, I turned on, they had Hard Target. Now we have Double Impact. Let's see what's on after Double Impact. What are
look,
they going
I don't,
to next?
I don't know what, and I want to get back to what Eden was saying because she was talking about lubrication, but I don't know what is so difficult for channels in programming. You give me control of a movie channel for 24 hours, a week, a month, whatever, I will have everyone there. I promise that. It's not hard. You play Back to the Future 1, play 2 and 3 right after it. You play the Wicks, play them all in succession. You play the Marvel shit, you play them all in a row. Like, it is not difficult to put stuff on where it's not like Fool's Gold is on. Like, no one wants to watch that.
No, but I'm watching
in a somewhat cohesive way. Yeah.
Yes.
But after this, Double Team. After that, Bloodsport. And then they get off Van Damme and move to Steven Seagal and go with Out for Justice.
Are we sure that there's not two Zachs and the other Zach is currently programming IFC?
I'll kill that motherfucker.
Marked for Death. Oh, and then they go fancy with Full Metal Jacket at 12:30 at night.
They go fancy.
Well, like artistic-y.
I can tell you,
Zach, just real quick on your tangent of like, let me program shit. If there was a menu with just how much it cost to play a movie, and there was a budget, 100%. I'm in. Yeah. I don't think it's that simple.
I don't think it is either, but there's some middle ground between what I'm saying and what they do. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Also, just real quick, Tubi, give it up.
You ain't got it, Tubi. You ain't got it, Tubi.
We're here for you.
Really?
Cinephobe.
You ain't got
on
it, man.
Tubi, all the movies on a playlist, bonus content built in. Come on, Tubi.
That's perfect.
We have to approach them.
I may or may not have sent an unanswered LinkedIn message to someone who works at Tubi.
Oh, shit. I'll do that, too. May or may not. The worst time to start the movie Full Metal Jacket is 12:30 at night. Yes. Why would you program it at 12:30 at night? That's insane.
That's West Coast time. That's 3:30 East Coast time. Like, what are we...
I'm all for watching that movie, but that's but not that the time to
prime time. Start
it. Yes,
that should be your prime time movie, not some Steven Seagal garbage.
Or at the very least, like late night viewing, where it's like it ends at 12:30, like where because right. It's like 12:30 exactly. Is like a reasonable wrap exactly. Up the night point. You know,
now I want to go back to an inflammatory thing that Mo just said. Did you just call Out for Justice Steven Seagal garbage?
No, that's at 6. Oh, there's okay. there's other movies. Well,
Under Siege after that, banger.
But it's like, Marked for Death is not very good.
No, Marked for Death is great. What are you talking about? Watch it tonight, prime time. You're gonna see that's a prime time movie for sure.
Get that one off the.
Now let's get back to Eden was talking about mayo as lubrication.
Wait, what? That is not.
Do you mean coconut oil?
Do not take me out of context like that, please.
For a sandwich or for, like, what are you doing?
No, literally, we were talking about toast. If you guys remember the crust conversation we had last week, this is a little thing I like to call a callback.
The crust conversation had us all on the edge.
The mailbag extended Zach. Universe.
No, that's no good.
No, come on, that's so pretty, good. It's too that's good. Good. It's too that's good.
Pretty, okay,
too
I'll good. Take that. Comment is my boyfriend. No. No.
I think music has to be at least like 30 seconds long to get hit with a DCMA.
15.
Oh, really? 15? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I was like, I know 2 seconds is not long enough, though. So
this is Maze's version. There.
It's too long.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard that.
Bolo just know. Put one in the
there's,
face.
There's something that was brought to my attention yesterday by Ethan, of all people, that I don't, it might be too radioactive even for this mailbag podcast.
Oh, is it basketball ratings?
It's not basketball ratings. Okay.
Is it the nickname Cum Bucket?
It's not unrelated to what you guys are just talking about.
I asked another group chat if we could nickname Jonathan Kuminga Cum Dog Millionaire.
Oh God!
No.
I like it. No. I like it.
That poor kid. It's just his last name. Tough,
like, that's tough. It's not even right? Kuminga. It's Kuminga, right? Like, it's not even like it's like just people. Even. Know. Yeah. Poor guy.
Cum Dog Millionaire. That's good. Yeah. I'm sure it exists good. Already as a title.
Oh, seen that for video sure. For sure.
It's on the playlist right next to Double Deep Impact.
Yep.
All right, so Eden, your toast recipe, you want to finish that off?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about... Now that you've
lubricated it.
Oh, mayo's lubrication.
You need a recipe for toast?
Yes.
I do.
Because toast and bread crust are ongoing themes that we open with the podcast with. But the crust, because like it was that milk bread from Paris Baguette that I've been trying to get through this loaf for like over a week because it's just not that good. So... Putting
damn,
mayo.
That's still there?
Last piece
that's
finished it today. Finished that's the last piece today. Yeah, I know.
That's brutal. God. 3 days.
That's how bad it was.
Been trucking through it. And these aren't even like full loaves. They're like mini loaves. God, like it's more like the half loaf. Like,
look, you're not a quitter. I know that. That's I would have thrown that shit out.
I made it to the finish line, but so this is like we said, day 10 or something. The bread is a little stale, obviously, at this point, too. So there's staleness. So the crust, the bread itself needed a little bit of lubrication. And so I used Kewpie mayo because it's easy from the squeeze bottle to get it like right along the edge.
Now, I obviously know what that is, but explain that for Katie.
Right. So Kewpie mayo.
It's a Japanese mayo.
Oh, I know it. Nice. I know it. Yeah, I know it. Jamie loves that shit.
It has like a different flavor profile than American mayo because it has more egg yolk, I think. So it has a more, like, I hate using the term umami, but it's so apt for me in this specific situation. Like, it just has a more depth of flavor to it versus American mayo. But because it comes in a squeeze bottle, it's easy to just squeeze along the edge. And then I crack the egg in the middle, okay. Put it, bake it for like 7 minutes on like 410 and it's like a egg toast. It's
you're like doing this like a sunny side up type. Like you're not like mixing the egg or scrambling or anything.
No.
Like
it's just okay. Just crack the egg on the bread.
This sounds legit. Yeah.
Oh, and you do have to press the bread down a little bit so it makes like a little divot for the egg to sit in. Yeah, otherwise, it slides off. Some people cut a hole, but I'm like, what a waste of bread. You know,
don't cut a hole. Yeah.
Yeah. Just press the bread down. Through, make a little divot. Yeah.
Cutting the hole is good if you're making a toad in the hole and then you fry that circle of bread separately.
But my whole thing is that I want to simplify the process. This is simple. Go straight into the toaster oven. Don't have to wash anything. Eat it right on the aluminum foil that that I was baked on.
Eat it right on the foil. That's natural.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Have to.
All right, Zach, do you want to read this text from Amin or do you want me to read it?
I can read it.
Right. Do the voice.
Oh, no.
This is Amin. Amin is
Let me give a little context first. So Amin is in New Orleans because he was at the J. Cole and Drake show on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
As you do.
And we didn't record this week because he couldn't stop himself from drinking for 2 hours in his hotel room.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like, to be fair, New Orleans.
Like, which would have been like middle of the day.
To be fair, New Orleans.
How old does Amin again? Like, is 1,000. Adult? Like,
to make it a good episode.
Oh no, I would just imagine even just to set up.
Yeah,
he didn't want to deal with it. That's the main thing. Okay, and I get it.
But at least Maze, you didn't have to edit a podcast.
It's a win.
I have a story that legitimately cannot go on the podcast, but I will tell it after we're done recording.
But for some reason, here is how Amin is following up his J. Cole Drake concert in New Orleans.
This is him literally just now on a swamp tour. Tour guide telling a story about how some dude tried to use swamp Spanish moss to fill his furniture with, said turned out he had bed bugs called, quote, and this is with a CH, let's not take this out of context.
Oh no.
Chiggers. And then he said, I instinctively said chiggas out loud.
So bad. Cover is my boyfriend. So bad. I'm laughing, but it's so bad.
The idea of Amin on a swamp tour hungover is shit, that even alone. Though he claims to not have hangovers.
He finally admitted hangover. Hold on. He said he's
had a hangover twice. I just don't.
No, that means you're an alcoholic. Yeah, if you don't get hangovers. Alcoholic.
If you're constantly feeling like shit and you can't tell if you feel more like shit.
It's just your state of being. Yeah.
So this was Monday to the shit chat, the chat. Tequila and chicken quesadilla infused shrapnel coming out of me right now. Emergency, almost shat my pants. He actually said, this is the whole
not
thing.
Shrapnel.
Emergency, almost shat my pants poop. I don't know why poop's at the end of that sentence. I think he meant to do the emoji. And then it said, okay, Zach, I'm ready to concede that this counts as a hangover.
You win. That counts as a court.
I capitulate. I don't even know what the hell is coming out of me. We need to read the rest of this because then it gets into pretty graphic detail. But yeah, he is finally willing to admit that him, the guy who claims he only poops once a day in the morning, but every time he's hungover, or I say he's hungover, he's shitting all day, is finally willing to admit that is a hangover.
Welcome to the Friday Mailbag. It's Friday.
I forgot we're doing a show.
Yeah. We started the show early because Mo had a question about breakfast. And he said, how early is too early to have lunch? And my immediate question was, well, when did you have breakfast? He said, I didn't have breakfast. And then now what happened? So let me get this straight, Mo. It's 10 a.m.
Yes.
You're hungry.
Yes.
You don't want to make a breakfast food item.
I have. So here's the situation. I have leftover dinner from last night, pesto pasta with chicken, which was amazing. I learned how to make pesto yesterday. Pretty easy.
Hell yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's really easy.
It's really easy. But, you know, it's one of those things when you like you look at it and go, like, I ain't doing that.
And food then it's processor. Like, oh, and food processor?
Food processor. No, shut up, Zach. Okay. And then so my thing was, like, I try to kind of line up my day of, like, what am I going to eat today? and the things I need to do through the course of the day. I was really hungry when I texted you guys that, and I was trying to hold on till after the pod to have lunch.
No, it's a terrible idea.
And then was like, I don't know if I can make it. I don't want to spend money and get something quick breakfast-wise. Didn't want to make anything because it was just too much. Just had a lot of stuff dealing with in the morning. And then was like, well, shit, can I just have this now?
Yes.
And, you know,
leftovers are the best breakfast.
So, but I mean, felt like it's too, almost like that just felt like it was, I mean, I ate it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It was great.
How do you feel?
Like, I feel fine now. We'll see how I feel in like a half hour.
I guess it's more to me.
Why would that change?
Are your taste buds ready for that level of food at this point?
And I just finished like a huge cup of tea too. So it's like a weird sort of aftertaste and like, you know, tea goes great with breakfast, but not so much with lunch and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
the British would not.
What
agree
do you
with
mean?
That.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, what do you do? Like, tea is like an all day
thing.
The
British lost a war. I don't give a shit.
I'm Asian, dude.
Not to you.
I'm not having green tea.
Do you think green tea is the only type of Asian tea that exists?
But having English breakfast tea, English breakfast tea.
It's not Mo, English breakfast tea you had.
Mo, here's a little pro tip for you. You're in your 40s. You can eat whatever the fuck whenever you want.
Yeah, I don't believe in these only this food at this time.
Guys,
I'm not doing that.
Breakfast only drink at night. What are you talking about? You can eat go eat a fucking like bowl of ice cream with steak. Like, it doesn't matter. You're an adult. You can do what you want.
That's right.
It was just asking a simple question.
Steak and ice cream for breakfast tomorrow. That's mine.
I was just trying to wrap my head around that specific combo.
You put the steak in the ice cream. It's a delicacy.
Mix it all together.
That's my guy.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would prefer to not eat the pesto pasta at 10 a.m., but if it has to happen and I don't want to get something else and it's what I have, I would eat it.
This is to me, the dumb thing about like all this, when can I eat stuff that not just Mo does, but a lot of people do. It's like, we will make the brunch exception on a Sunday or a Saturday, but like during the week, we're like, oh, I don't know if I like, you can eat with like,
well, this was the Curb episode, right? They just had this where they're the 11 a.m. breakfast cut off and then Irma, I think says, I don't want to eat a Greek salad at 11. So like, I get it. So sometimes you want breakfast food at a certain time if it's your first meal, but that doesn't mean that you can't eat lunch whenever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
I think I eat non-breakfast foods more than I eat breakfast foods. I don't really eat much in the morning at all, actually.
So, yeah, me neither. I'm eating my toast right now after Mo had his lunch.
I'm just as likely to have a breakfast food like later in the day, like versus
I want an omelet.
I'll make my egg toast. I'll make my egg toast at 4 p.m. You know,
You know, it's a nice snack. A little bowl of cereal, like afternoon. That's a nice snack.
Cereals you can have anytime.
Yeah,
soup.
We're not doing this again.
We never stopped doing it. I understand kitchens being like, all right, no more breakfast food the rest of the day because we gotta concentrate on that.
I was not on Larry's side there. I'm sorry, Larry.
Oh, really?
No,
you don't want it. Well, what? Like, I know this is a very specific item, but like, you don't want hollandaise sauce sitting out all day, and it will sit out. Like, that's not made fresh. Like, that's a whole different setup.
And then everyone wants breakfast. We saw what happened. Oh, they get breakfast.
I get that.
I want breakfast.
I get that. I get the mob mentality. You have to draw a line to stop the masses from abusing their power. But I like, why not noon, I guess, is my question. 11 seems like an arbitrary cutoff time.
That's fair. But McDonald's is like 10:30. You know, that fine
McDonald's is fucked up. And then they gave you all day breakfast for a while and then
they took it away.
You know who took it away? Yeah, they took it away.
What?
Taco Bell's breakfast is not what it should be. It used to be like back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. It was amazing. Like incredible, simple, like breakfast burritos and everything.
I don't remember them having breakfast.
That's the one
then.
That should absolutely do all day breakfast. Yeah. If they did all day Taco Bell? They would make $1 billion a day.
Yeah. That breakfast Crunchwrap, man. Ooh.
I've never had it.
So good.
I've only had a Crunchwrap once.
Pretty good. Yeah.
What?
While we're on the breakfast topic.
Oh, no.
We have to get into this because Paul Bull is furious. He's furious at us for the Hurricane Smith episode. He has taken offense to the Australian slander and portrayal.
It's
not slander,
but it's true.
And
Vegemite's actually really good.
Where he has really put his foot down is on bacon. And their bacon
is fucking trash.
Okay, I have a question, Zach, because you have familiarity. Is it actual bacon?
It's actual bacon, but it's barely cooked. It's soggy and soft.
Gotcha.
And like so it's
gotta be
undercooked.
Extra crispy, always.
It's not even in the neighborhood of crispy. Like it's not even close. Like it
doesn't
look
cooked.
It's not.
That's disgusting.
I saw it. Like I obviously didn't eat it, but I've seen it.
I've had bacon at dozens of places across Australia, or at least across the East Coast. Like, it's trash every single time. They don't know what they're doing.
His question for the pod is, why do Americans ruin bacon by burning it to a crisp?
It's not burnt to a crisp. It's called cooked.
You better fuck right off. I'm getting pissed.
Yeah, it's called cooked.
It's just because it's crispy does not mean it is burnt to a crisp.
Exactly.
Paul. Like, you know, exactly. But just because it's crispy does not mean it is burnt. It doesn't mean that
those things are so different. Mm-hmm. I don't want raw bacon, like rubbery bacon or where
if you bite into it and there's no bite into it.
Yeah. It's taffy.
What are we doing, dude? I'm not gumming bacon fat.
More like Paul Bowl of Lies.
That was seamless.
Wait, you can't stumble over seamless when making fun of me stumbling over something.
Unbelievable, man.
I prefer a crispy bacon. It's a fine line. It's so tough. And it's like if you're eating the bacon right out of the pan and it's not sitting there at all, like overcooking it a slight bit is better. But normally what happens is I have to cook the bacon first because then I'm using the bacon fat
to continue to lubricate the pan.
You have to lubricate at all times.
What's the thickness of the Australian bacon? Yeah.
I cook all my bacon in the oven now.
It's just fatty and limp.
I don't do stovetop.
Takes forever. Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah, no, the stove takes way too long.
Bacon in the oven, you put it at 400, you put it in right away. 20 minutes, perfect.
Yeah, it's more even. Yep. I mean, I cut my bacon strips in half, so I do a half length, and then I'm turning it fairly often. I think that gives it a little more.
I don't
even
know
cook.
Why that feels like such a Gen Z thing to do.
To cut it in half
bacon or cut it?
I don't know why.
If Gen Z is up on my bacon technique, then they're, you know, maybe there's hope for them yet.
It's the half strips for me.
Don't.
Is my boyfriend.
Don't.
It's giving bite size.
No.
Not eating a full strip.
Stop. I will take these glasses off and no longer be an ally.
Are you taking those glasses off?
It's giving ally.
Can we get admission now from Zach?
Oh,
It doesn't really go with the conversation, but we can do it.
We can. We're building up to that. I mean, any more bacon thoughts before we get out of here? I mean,
sorry, Paul, you're wrong.
I cooked some bacon the other day for like some breakfast thing I was just making on the fly. And then decide, you know what? I'm just chopping I made bacon bits out of it. It was super crispy. It was perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Try doing that with your limp ass bacon, okay?
You can't. You can't.
And my last bacon take is that Europe, get it right. Canadian bacon is not bacon. That's ham.
That's ham.
Do not. If I order bacon in Europe, I do not want a piece of Canadian bacon.
That's the thing.
No.
Even the first time I was in Australia, I was like, oh, this is ham. And they're like, no, it's real bacon. I'm like, what the fuck? This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible.
Did we all get the same video from Mr. Harper about the hot metal being poured on the McDonald's cheeseburger?
Oh, yeah, Bill. That, Bill, I mean, Harper? that was about 50,
I was so confused. I was 50 like,
DMs ago, but yes.
Mr. Harper. I love the idea of referring to Zach as Mr. Harper.
Yeah. No, not me. Chance.
I know. We figured it out.
Yeah, it just took me a second.
Well, I didn't get it till today.
So. Ooh.
A smelted cheeseburger? That's what.
Well, it doesn't melt.
Well, yeah.
It's crazy.
Not even the bread. Crazy. It's like 2,000 degrees.
Thank God the chicken nuggets are real.
Didn't the supersize me guy do a bunch of.
Well, he did like the fries. Tests. Like he left fries out, right? For like days or whatever.
Yeah, oh, stay the same.
This is mildly related. Some like fasting video came up on my TikTok algorithm where the guy's like, here's what happens if you fast for 36 days and like explains like the science behind it or whatever. Or not, I'm sorry, 36 hours. Yeah. 36 hours. And then goes, the longest fast was 392 days. This guy lost 276 pounds. Like, yeah, he didn't eat for over a year. Of course he lost 276 pounds.
276.
Tell me he lost 276 pounds in 36 hours. And I'm like, whoa, shit, that's crazy.
Yeah, did he disintegrate? Is that what happened?
Over a year. I mean, he looked, the before and after picture, like that was a big dude.
A lot of skin. And after the skin,
392 days, of course.
For something completely different.
Zach has a potentially shocking admission.
Mostly because of like the podcast we do and everything, right? Called CinePho. And I am willing to admit I've seen it everywhere. I see people talking about it. I see people doing all this stuff. I have no idea what Letterboxd is. Truly have no idea what Letterboxd is.
I'm loving Eden's pose right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's a rating system or it's like a checklist of things.
Letterboxd?
It's an IMDb adjacent app.
What's the point of it? Just you rate the movies?
I use it to log movies that I watch.
Okay. So that's what I was thinking it might be, but I don't know. You
can write reviews in it.
So can you do that on IMDb? Or Rotten
Tomatoes? Probably. Why do I use that one? I'm not sure. It's a film nerd app that started, I want to say, I mean, it might be 10 years ago. I think I started using it like 7 or 8 years ago.
I would have guessed it happened in the last 2 years.
I started hearing about it in the last three.
It started blowing up. It's now people are like, you should go to Letterboxd to get a score or to get somebody's review or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I thought it was like I thought it was like Redbox, right? Like, isn't that the one where you like rent a movie for like a dollar or whatever?
That's
like
a vending machine. You go get a dollar from the DVD.
You go get one letter.
Yeah.
One letter. I called a mailbox.
That's what I thought it was. And then I saw recently I've like paid attention when people are talking about it. Or like posted about it and they're like, here, I just updated my letterbox with these movies. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means. Okay, so it's just a review system.
Why is it called Letterboxd? Because letterboxing is like...
Because it's the format for widescreen movies is Letterboxd.
Oh, I thought letterboxing was the term for the black that fills in the space.
The format is extra widescreen, which means that it usually has the black on it on like, so when TVs used to be square, it was letterboxed when it was widescreen and you would have the black strip.
Because letterboxing is such a negative connotation to it.
Yeah, I thought letterboxing was when I fight my mailman.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I mean, I think once again, film nerd shit. I think it comes from when you watched a movie in, let's say, the 80s, and
you wrote a letter and put it in the box.
No, you didn't write a letter. No, there's no writing of letters. No,
I wrote letters.
They used to write letters. Yeah, they did. They used to write letters. The whole system.
No,
Pony Express.
Yes, put a return address on it.
When you would get a copy of a movie and you would watch it, it would be reformatted for your television. Yeah. And so if you were a nerd, you say, oh, I'm missing things on the perimeter and this isn't how it was shot and blah, blah, blah. I want the letterboxed. And that's where it came from.
Okay.
There was
sounds
a
like
point
what British
where the
people call a mailbox. Yes. Like, oh, what's in the letterbox?
There was a point where the height of technology was someone,
so over us.
Where someone got on a horse to deliver mail. That was like the height of technology
Pony
at one
Express.
Point.
I actually had a trivia question about that. It was like massively popular for a couple years. And then it got completely replaced.
Pony Express?
From April 1860 to October 1861. For 18 months. It was, and then the Telegraph came along and market corrected the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine being a psycho riding a horse as fast as you can across the country.
Hoping you're headed the right way.
Right.
And like, did they even like pay you for like extra express delivery? Like,
they gave you a horse. You got your own horse. Yeah. It was one of those things. Yeah.
Is it BYO horse? Is one given to you?
That's a different party.
Yeah, like when you try to sign up to be an Uber driver, but you don't have a car. Like
when Katie was going to Tijuana the first time, she said, "Now is it BYO horse? Like, what is the?
How does this work? What are the rules?"
I have a dating.
What happens in TJ stays in TJ.
Scenario. Well,
so, hold on. Zach, real quick though, how did Letterboxd come across your radar?
I just saw people posting about it on like Twitter and
Where's
the Instagram stories?
Good follow up, Mo. Good journalism. How is that potentially shocking? That you're dumb?
I needed more. Who cares?
That's why I didn't say this will shock your tits off, Mo. Like, I was like, this is potentially shocking because I do a movie podcast.
You did say
I would have. I would have been surprised that, like, I would have thought that you would have already known what it was.
Maze, isolate. This will shock your tits off.
Oh, so good.
What's your dating questions?
Not a question so much as a scenario, which I hadn't even considered. All right.
Can you put it in your letterbox?
Karma's on your scent like a bounty hunter. And karma's going to track you down step by step from town to town.
Why is this so long?
Because she's going to
track
you down.
That's not what she said.
No.
Was that the Taylor version?
So I haven't gone out with this girl yet, but she gave me her number a few weeks ago, and then she was out of town. And then she came back, and then we were going to go out Saturday night, and then she got called into work. Works at a hospital.
Is this the one from the Super Bowl?
Yeah. And so,
have we seen Johnny? What was his name?
Sexy Johnny. Everybody's seen Sexy Johnny.
We went a couple weeks ago to that bar and. No Sexy Johnny. I was a little bit disappointed.
No, he wasn't there. No, but the couple of times I've been, he's there. It's funny because
trying to find Sexy
I walked
Johnny.
Up to the table he was sitting at one night after the, like between now and like the Super Bowl. And I walked up and I could tell it took him a minute to realize who I was. Cause I just walked up. I was like, and I've like put my hand out. I was like, hey, what's going on? And it like took him. And then once he realized who I was, he was like,
snapped
so
on.
Fucking excited. Oh my God.
Shocked his
so
tits
like
off.
Just start asking me this all these guy. Questions. All these questions.
Do you know letterboxes?
It's so sexy.
So she had to bail, but was like texting me throughout the night, whatever, like on Saturday. And so I hit her up like a couple days later and was like, hey, you know, checking in, whatever. And she's like, oh, my dog actually like headbutt me in the eye accidentally. And like sent me a picture, like has like a legit black eye, like legit black eye. And then I hadn't heard for a couple days. I was like, and so yesterday I was like, hey, like, you know,
how's that black eye?
We should go out, you know, like, like, you know, or let me know if you're free this weekend or whatever. And then she said, like, look, honestly, like, she texted me today. She's like, honestly, like, the black eye is still pretty bad. And, like, I don't really want to be seen until it clears up. I was like, yeah, I understand that. And then, but then she hit me with this. And, like, I hadn't even considered it. She was like, yeah, I really didn't want to, like, have us go out and people can see me. And then they look at you.
Oh,
and right. I was like, oh, my exactly. God, I didn't even consider that. Like, I never even would have, I would have never thought of that until, yeah. like, in
right.
reality, people are, like, glaring at me.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I actually
yeah.
thought, like, oh, that's pretty considerate.
She ran into yeah, a no, door. I like her. Keep it moving.
Yeah, no, like, oh, the dog did it. Like, no one's going to believe that.
Yeah. She's
but I like that, Zach. This I one. Like that she's considerate. I like that she's considerate enough mm-hmm. to think about that.
Yeah. That's, I would have I seriously would have never even.
Sexy Johnny be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Ooh, Sexy Johnny would be coming for you. Yeah. That would have shocked his tits off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For
that's how
sure.
you thank me? That's how you thank me. Rough her up.
Yeah. And you probably didn't think about it because it would have been a first date. Right?
Right
or like
yeah. Yeah
like if it was you know if you were maybe
I literally haven't seen her since the Super Bowl like
dating she, for a couple weeks yeah. that right. would you would be more that might cross your radar but yeah that yeah. is that is interesting and that is a terrible excuse the dog did it
that's true
yeah, nobody's believing that
where is the dog
then you with Boogie and you look at Boogie you're like this little fucking this guy thing, this, yeah. this is an abuser
I think
you didn't
want to so
do
flat.
It you had yeah. your dog do it like it's
he did yo this motherfucker is just pounding this chicken stand because they have dog treats every time we go sit outside like the girl who usually works there she like loves him. She always gives him a treat. And so like she walked up to work this morning while we were sitting out there and he immediately freaks out because he knows what's coming. And then she introduces another worker. She's like, oh, this is the dog, blah, blah, blah. And this other worker and then he's like, just starts playing her for a treat. And like, it's crazy how, like, I know he's manipulative, but it's crazy how manipulative he is.
Not he's a man.
He's your dog.
On that note, Deli Platter asked...
He's a man who masturbates in front of Katie.
If your pet could
aggressively.
Talk, what would their voice sound like and what would they say about you?
He's a French bulldog, so I think he'd sound like Hank Azaria from Long Came Polly.
Are you guys for scuba?
Yeah, there you go.
What would he think about you, Zach?
Look to me in my eyeball.
I mean, he's manipulative, so he'd be thinking, how can I get this man to give me food at any
opportunity? And he knows it doesn't work with me in terms of, like, getting him treats all the time. But he knows strangers will always want to placate that.
My dog's a little smaller. I think he has probably, like, a pretty high-pitched voice. And
yeah, Dolores does. I speak for her on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure my dog just looks at me half the time and goes, this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Duty? Well,
Boogie, your terrorist is here.
Boogie, it's your rapist.
Yeah, I think my crazy, my crazy cat talks like Kate McKinnon doing like an unhinged character.
Yeah,
maybe like the what was the is it Weird Barbie? What's their character
weird
name?
Barbie.
Yeah, it was like Weird Barbie. Yeah.
And man, I mean, she's always getting in my face when I get a phone call.
Damn.
Not when I'm on a podcast or not when I'm just talking. But if I answer the phone and I'm talking on the phone, she gets activated. So I imagine to be like, who are you talking to? Who's calling you right now?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Another cat?
Yeah.
Is that another cat? Or do you have plans later? Where do you go when you leave? Are you going to see that other cat? Because I will poop on
your
floor.
She's jealous. Oh, yeah. Dolores is a petty pooper.
There will be poop on this floor when you get back from your plans with the other cat.
Do either of your dogs pick up articles of clothing or shoes or anything and like take it to their bed when you leave them for too long or something?
No.
No, she'll really pull shoelaces really tight.
Mm.
She pulls the shoelaces
he'll
tight.
Tighten
and
your
she
shoes.
He'll lay them, on my clothes.
So it's harder for me to leave.
He'll lay
but
on
she
clothes.
Also, yeah, she was a panty snatcher for a while.
Oh.
Like when she was a puppy, she would, I would catch her running around with, you know,
wonder where she got
some undies in her mouth.
Yeah, we know where she got
where
that
did
from,
she
man.
Get that from? My sister has a rabbit and her voice is, she's got like a, like she kind of talks like this. She calls everybody toots and she smokes a lot of cigarettes.
Patty and Selma.
Her name
it's
is
a Patty and Selma yeah. voice.
Pretty much.
We love to smoke.
Did you bring me my cigarettes, toots? It was very negative, dude.
Boogie never does. Nice like, Boogie pretty much just stays where I left him. Like if he's on the couch and I come back, he's on the couch. Like every once in a while, he will he'll like burrow himself, like he'll like make a like a surrounding like pillow moat
like a
on the bed.
Nest.
Like he'll like mess up the pillows and like be in the middle of moat deck hill in the middle of it. But other than that, like he rarely like he doesn't like get clothes or destroy anything or anything like that. Like he just chills.
Dolores stays in the window waiting for me to come home, and it's really sad.
At my dad's house, Luca does that. Like, he goes, sits in the family room and, like, has a section. He just lays there.
Like, there's even a spot on the couch that is just totally fucked from where she lays on the top.
There are two pillows that have been positioned by Luca for where it's two different couches, but he'll jump on one couch or the other, and sometimes he'll be on top of the couch. At Jamie's, he has to go in the crate because he's had a few accidents. When we leave. So
for some reason, Zach,
he gets crated at Jamie's.
It just crossed my mind that Boogie talks like Andre the Giant.
Hello, pretty lady. Anybody want a peanut?
You got any treats for me?
I could see that.
I could see that. Yeah.
That's about right.
A naturally large voice for a tiny little dog.
For some reason, the head tilt and the like, you know, the snarl makes it make sense to me.
Drinks in a bottomless amount of beer every time he goes out, you know?
100%.
I don't think he would talk that much, drunk. Though, because I feel like Boogie's head is pretty empty.
No, that motherfucker is always scheming. Always scheming.
How can I get the next thing?
Yeah.
I do, 100%, there's a picture of... You're going to what?
Oh, I'm going to walk into the bedroom once this podcast is done, because he's on the bed right now, and I'm going to out loud go, "Hello, pretty Boogie." I'm 100% going to do that.
He responds, "I love the picture of Dolores and Boogie on like the balcony, just neighborhood watch.
Yeah.
Keeping everybody in check.
Oh man. Yeah. If he has a window to look out, he'll do that, but he doesn't, it's kind of obstructed where he can look out the balcony window. Like he's
balcony. Like if Boogie could just listen to the police scanner all day, I think he would really enjoy that.
Oh, if he knew how to use the Citizen app. Yo, he'd be all over that. Oh my God.
He'd be going live constantly.
Oh, constantly. Well, heard that bird upstairs again. We're going to have to report that. God, that woman is fucking, man. Bird. And she always, every time I see her, she's like, "Your dog doesn't like my bird." I was like, "Yeah, I fucking know. I don't like it either. I can hear it.
No one
likes
your bird. You're
Who
mentally
likes
ill.
Birds?
That's mental illness.
There was that bird. There was that bird on social media the last day that was singing Earth, Wind, and Fire, September. Okay. Well, it's the
if
first
the bird
I've ever liked.
Talent.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. If it's just a bird, that's not exciting.
My cousins had a bird that got CPS called on them because they put it in the laundry room and it was like, "Help me, help me, help
what?
Me." And someone thought it was a child.
That's funny. Oh my God. Rico. That's actually hilarious. That's funny.
Yeah.
Reported.
The police showed up. They're like, "We heard there is a child begging for help." They're like, "What the fuck?" They're like, "Oh yeah, Rico, hold on."
Addiction, opinion, usurpation, Coralie, Valérie. place m'assumer. Courant politique, belle éthique.
And now for something completely different.
I thought this week's curb was the best one of the season. I was
so good.
Dying
easily
at this. Although, episode.
Man, I was. Man, seeing Richard Lewis was really hard.
It was tough.
Because, like, I knew he looked bad before, right? Like, he hasn't been looking good lately.
Yeah.
But now knowing that he's dead, like, he looked so old. And
it was a little eerie. It was the eyes. It was the unblinking eyes.
Yeah.
Which is probably, like, Botox or an eye lift or something. I don't know what it is. But
even then, it's like, you know, every take, it's like he never closes his eyes at all. But
beautiful blues, though. Beautiful baby blues.
But I did like his storyline of, you know, turning AA into his very own comedy tour.
That's so fucking funny.
It's my next special.
That's so funny.
It is more funny talking about putting each other in their wills, though.
Yeah. That one, I mean, that one was so prescient. Like, the will conversation the week before. But, I mean, Sean Hayes as the new lawyer.
So good.
Dan Levy. As his gay husband, the Zekelman, coming in 200 degrees, guns over blazing.
Mantle? Yeah.
Zekelman?
Oh my God. Now, if I
get all of the names Zekelman. He pulled out of his butt, Foots. Give me a Foots.
There was an NBA player, Foots Walker.
Ziggy Zekelman. I'll West take Georgia a Zekelman College. If I can get a Ziggy. And then, I mean, you know, it did a classic Curb thing of, like, he's done an adjacent bit before. He's done a similar bit before, but he's repackaging it. He's reimagining it. He's changing some of the words because I thought of foisting, but he came up with a new term for it, right? And it's a little different because foisting is like you foist a person. But this one, it's like accountability. And so he had a new term that he unleashed, which was...
To tell you the truth, I'm kind of surprised you're sloughing off the blame on me.
And I'm equally sloughing surprised off. You won't accept the blame.
I think I'm way more surprised than you.
I think I'm...
About the sloughing of the blame.
And I'm really wildly surprised that you aren't accepting.
I am so incredulous that you think I am more to blame than you.
The sloughing of the blame.
Yeah. Also repurposing... Well, I think we talked about this in, or maybe mentioned in the group chat, or Cinephobe chat, maybe. I don't know. Like the whole last name thing is the same thing, but opposite version of him on or George on Seinfeld saying, you know, Seven is a great name for a kid and soda and all that shit.
Yeah. And it's great, you know, and I feel like even the brick thing had been done before.
That was funny because it's kind of like, it's a little bit like the anonymous thing, right?
Yeah. It's exactly like that. Yeah. And, but also I like that we didn't even get to who put the original brick up there.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's just a random name.
Yeah.
And then when the rabbi, when he approaches the rabbi, he's like, what the hell? Right. Like, this isn't fair use. Like, this isn't freedom of speech. Like, he's slandering me. And the rabbi's like, I don't care. Like, donation's a donation. But and then, I mean, Vince Vaughn dating the girl who works for Disney.
Oh, store. My God. That was fucking funny, man. That's such an LA thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And also, you know, the way that lady was ass off, the way she was talking about her coworkers.
Oh, my God.
Like, so-and-so was, you know, was this princess today. And, you know, she doesn't normally get a speaking part. So she really, it's just like, she's so in it.
She's breaking it down. Like that's the job talk, right?
And
Vince Vaughn's reaction to one, thinking like, this is this high powered Disney executive. She's so young. She's so hot and everything. And then finding out, and then just the facial reactions. Like, he's so fucking good at that.
When he dropped her off at work.
Oh,
this is where you work at the Americana?
Upstairs in the offices?
Yo, the Americana fucking Instagram account is so, they were dying at that. Oh my God.
And then now, you know, they brought back the groats and they use the same story. I mean, it was a little clunky how like Irma immediately went and ran into her. I could have used the sponsor bridging that gap, but then now that you've got this quartet of people who have been wronged, and now they're going to be coming after Larry. It's perfect.
That's so good.
And the way that, like, because Larry couldn't shut the fuck up about naming this kid, it fucked him with the lawyer situation. And it wasn't because that dude was, it wasn't because Sean Hayes was mad at him. It was because he legitimately fucked up Sean Hayes's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. He legitimately ruined it.
Yeah.
And because Sean Hayes kind of agreed with him, right? He was pushing for the Mantle name, and that's what got him in trouble. But man, yeah, I hope Dan Levy comes back, because
where's Maria Sophia fit. Ben and Pachuca?
Yeah, that's a good point. Where is Maria Sophia?
She's being a star.
She's too famous now.
Yeah,
I guess
too
so.
Too famous.
Yeah, we haven't touched on Little Larry at all. I'm assuming that's just a raging success, and Maria Sophia is taking over the world.
And now for something completely different.
All right. So, okay, here's the... Man, I got to do this. Here is the topic that I could not even believe was a thing and that I learned about yesterday. And so what we have here...
Letterboxd?
No, it's not Letterboxd. What we have here is a tweet by Ayella. And she says, for my birthday, my partner and some friends organized a huge bang gang. I think she meant gang bang. For me, with 42 attendees. Here's the breakdown of how the event was organized, exit survey statistics, and what it was like for me.
Exit
psychologically.
Survey?
She wrote a long... detailed Substack post about this. So it's a flow chart because she also does like data analytics. They had 1,600 people respond to the survey, 775 passed an auto filter, 448 passed a manual filter. They contacted 250. They interviewed 83. 87 people got invited. 43 people did STI tests. 42 showed up. 37 penetrated her. 17 came in her. 5 came in a fluffer, 15 didn't come.
You can come in the fluffer?
15 didn't come.
They showed up, they just couldn't come.
What?
If they came in the fluffer, they just busted too early?
Yeah.
Or
well, they probably just like the fluffer better.
Or after.
Well, fluffer, hardly know her.
Yes. This woman has like 200,000 followers on Twitter and
I bet she has more now.
Yeah, but she does have more now. She, I mean, it's just...
How long was the
truly
event?
Truly insane.
Does it say?
It was like an all-day thing.
That sounds so horrible.
It does sound horrible. It sounds extreme. Also, she got everybody custom bathrobes. I went to the Ayella B-Day gangbang, and all I got was this bathrobe, and also to fuck a porn star.
I hate this.
This is... No.
Oh, this is a porn star?
She's an OnlyFans person.
Same thing. Yeah. That's less interesting to me then. I thought this was just a regular person organizing a gangbang.
Yeah, like Susie who works at Applebee's and she's like, you know what?
Oh, Susie.
Dirty. Let's fucking go.
Is Applebee's like upstairs or
in the offices?
Like the offices?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like corporate? No? Although this was my favorite excerpt, though. One of the guys was a virgin. We asked if we could celebrate his first time, and he said yes. The wackier, the better, I believe. So we had him go first. He literally said, Leroy Jenkins!
Wow.
As he entered, and we popped confetti over him when he finished, and I signed a personalized gift for him.
How long did he go? Does it? I want to know.
I mean, he got in there first, so good for him.
Yeah. Woo.
That
wow.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah.
It was funny to hear Ethan talk about it.
I'll be celebrating.
Oh, that's what Ethan talked about?
This was Ethan talking to Razib Khan on his podcast this week. Razib Khan's like a geneticist who apparently knows this woman. Huh. It was something, man.
Did he apply?
He said he did not. He said he was disgusted by her. This woman also apparently only bathes 37 days a year.
Oh.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she did it afterwards?
I would hope that she did it before and all after. That,
the 37 just marinated in
mean,
there.
I think those are two separate issues, but I don't know. I don't know, man. The enthusiasm is really what thrown me off, I guess. The enthusiasm and the enthusiasm to share it with the world and talk about it in detail.
It really sounds like this was staged for content.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I hate it here.
Where's the line? Where's the line between content and real life, you know?
Does X call tweets something else now, or are they still tweets? What do you call them?
It's still Twitter. Give a fuck. Still tweets. I mean, they still Twitter to me, man. Yeah. I've always seen say X Twitter more and often. Ugh. All right. Well, that was fun. You guys weren't quite as into it.
Well,
I'm just, my mind is no pun intended blown. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. It's just so happened? Much.
So much. It's so much.
It's so.
I don't want a bath. Don't give me a bathrobe.
You're right.
No, that was the thing, was she had all the dudes stand in a row in the bathrobes jacking it.
No.
I mean, I guess for the Christmas card, whatever.
How many of those guys do you think? It's all guys, right?
It was all, like,
not women. Yeah,
there were fluffers. There were female fluffers and other women helping out.
How many guys do you think took, like, a Cialis or a...
All of them.
Whatever.
They all did. Viagras. A lot of people brought their own.
Okay.
Amateurs.
But.
BYOV. Come
here. Well, there is actually a V provided, but yeah.
BYO horse.
Yeah, I mean...
This ain't the Pony Express.
Yep.
And now for something completely different.
Burn Notice asks, if you died in a movie, what would your last line be right before your death?
What a great question. Oh my God.
This is an Eden special.
Such a good question. I thought that was your answer.
No.
What a great question.
Just die right after that.
It's a good question.
Probably say, I did 9/11 or something.
God damn.
Well, no, your people are off the hook now.
So. Yeah.
Finally.
That's different than the joke. That's different than the joke I was about to say.
Yep. Oh boy.
Nope.
Well.
Well. I mean, if somebody is killing me, if I'm being murdered, I would say it is exactly as I have foreseen.
I was thinking something like, is this the best you could do? Could you not have killed me in a more psychotic, dark,
twisted
way? Like, this is underwhelming. Like, honestly, I probably got shot. Remember how I was talking about how getting shot's the most, like, boring way to kill someone? I can't believe you did me the disservice of just killing me with a gun.
Get creative.
Now, what if it's like a shot to the stomach, so you're, like, bleeding out?
Yeah. I just still think I'd rather have a knife to the stomach where it's like really twisted and more pain. No. Come on. That's the point. Bro, we want more.
Right now?
What's your problem? It depends how she's dying. Mine would probably be five dicks.
God damn. Five dudes. Oh my God. Five dicks. Damn. Yeah,
I probably should have played that during the last section too.
Didn't have enough.
Didn't have enough. There were enough drops. You have to play it
five times, six times.
Yeah, easily. More. But yeah, I mean, if it's a slow death, I feel like you're gonna say your line, and then
have, like,
you might be in the hospital for a day and a half or something. Like,
yeah,
you might not get the satisfaction. I got a redo. But that gives you another chance to sign off with something more dramatic. If you didn't get the closing line,
I never fully understood Letterboxd.
This will shock your tits off.
Not to be taken out of context, but there's a D at the end of Letterbox.
Letterboxd is the name of the app.
Oh,
there's no E. It's just Letterboxd.
Boxed.
Oh, I thought it was just Letterbox app.
Boxed.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
That would be my final. That would be my final thing.
I didn't know there was a D.
Yeah.
Yeah, consider those tits shocked off.
Yeah.
Say goodbye.
All right, Chip Skylark asked, do you prefer salty or sweet foods when you are high? Now, Eden, you have friends that have done this, so maybe you can salty consult with them real quick.
I've heard that the way to go is savory, salty first, and then sweet.
Yeah, that's probably right.
So, like, start with your crisps and pretzels.
The other way is full family size bag of Doritos. I'm good. I don't need anything after that.
Yeah. I don't need both, but if you are going to do both, that is the I don't think you can do sweet and then go to salty. That might
be too much. Well,
yeah.
Maybe if it's like a caramel corn situation.
Yeah.
And then you go to like chips or crackers or something. Yeah. Okay.
If there's like a transition.
But caramel corn's like a that's a whole other.
Yeah. It's a gateway drug.
Chocolate covered pretzel. I thought you said it's a gangbang drug.
You got it on the brain.
It's a gangbang drug.
I got dicks on the brain, man. I don't know what to do.
I think salty and sweet.
You want the bathrobe?
Oh God, I have a bathrobe, and I've had a bathrobe for like 11 years, and I do not wear it ever.
Would you like it embroidered with a fun message?
No, maybe. Yeah, I like to air dry, you know?
Zach, you've been rewatching 30 Rock. How about when Will Arnett wears that little shorty bathrobe?
Oh, that's my favorite. God. When he comes out in something more cut, that's so fucking funny.
He comes out in this bathrobe that is like right at the junk line. Like that is how far it goes down.
That is not for sure inch below. The most underrated, under-talked about sitcom ever.
So underrated.
It's... Oh my God. It's as funny as any other like network sitcom.
And it's like, admission.
I've never really watched it.
There you go. That's what I mean. Exactly. I think there's lots of people that just missed the boat when it came out.
What's it called?
30 Rock.
Oh,
it's Tina Fey. It's Alec Baldwin.
No, 30 Rock was huge. I thought you were talking about a Will Arnett spinoff show.
No, he's. No. He's
I thought that's what I thought I missed.
No, like, he's a recurring character.
Yeah.
He's Jack's rival.
He's the one that like dates Amy Poehler, right? And like get married or something? Or am I conflating?
Well, they got married.
They were married. Yeah,
they were married in real life, but you're thinking of they like get married on a dare.
Different show. Okay,
Arrested
Development. Yeah. Different show. Yeah.
Isn't she like the seal trainer?
Yes. She's a seal. Like she sells seals or something.
Wedding photos. I'm gonna pull those up, but
okay. In a series of escalating dares.
Oh my God. I literally played it for my friend last night, and he's like, "What is this show?" And so it's one of those things that just slips by people.
But it was like a huge network because it was on like NBC or something. Having like me and my college roommates, that's like one of the shows we would all like watch because it was like, you know, mutually agreeable for most people, like, and because it's like we had we had access to NBC, so it was just like one of the shows that we watched.
Something where like
no
I would
cable,
watch it.
Katie. Okay, NBC is available without cable.
I would watch it every week. I would TiVo it and watch it like once or twice every week, and every once in a while, I'd get a friend to come in and like be like, "Yeah, I'll watch it," whatever. And then they were hooked immediately. It didn't matter what episode or what; like they were hooked immediately.
It doesn't matter. The jokes are so good;
you jump in so easily.
I definitely rewatched it when it came on Netflix too. And I haven't rewatched them since, but yeah.
My problem is I don't really like Tracy Morgan, and it's more because I was at a karaoke night one night with a bunch of friends, and he was hitting on one of our friends and like walked by and gave like the cunnilingus sign and all of that to her, and she was freaked out. And then from there, it just kind of ruined it for me. I don't really want
to
see
him. You have to separate the art from the artist.
Fucking Gen Zer.
I get that,
Zach,
though,
he was giving very nasty vibes. It was very giving.
He's kind of a nasty dude.
I get it. I don't think Tracy Morgan is necessarily the funniest guy ever, but in that show, they use him perfectly. Yeah. And it's because Tina spent enough time with him at SNL to know exactly what this dude can do.
And what would work, I think.
And he's not really acting. A ton. You know, the character's named after him. Like, it's all the jokes are set up for him, but he's, you know, he's like, I mean, he's the fourth guy on the depth chart. Like, he's a contributor. He has a lot of crazy plots.
He's third, right?
I guess so.
Well, they have their own Real Housewives on there. Queen of Jordan.
Once they get, they start like unleashing his wife more, who's, is that Sherry Shepherd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plays his wife. Like, she's fucking hilarious. Grizzin.com, his entourage guys, they start giving them like storylines and shit.
One of my favorite clips ever is them on the House of Jordan, like spinoff, like whispering about her in like a closet or something, or
like a hot mic moment.
And it's like, like, oh, she's so big. Like, yeah, they love the way she says ham. And it just cuts to her on the show going,
ham, ham, ham. And it's,
it makes me laugh.
It is a great show. It's
fucking
that'd be a good soundboard.
I'm due for a rewatch, I think, because it's just been a while. It's been a while.
It's the easiest rewatch. I was seriously like, I did like, no shit, like 10 episodes in a row. Like, I could not stop watching it.
Yeah. Especially like having seen it before, it's like you don't have to pay full attention. It can like be on in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening?
I started watching it again the other day and was just like,
from when they.
That's the marriage montage.
Yeah.
I think that's a different photo that's from like a different episode, but.
When they're like in the shopping cart.
Robbing a convenience store. Yeah. The shopping cart's flying through the air.
And he won't admit that they didn't have sex on their wedding night.
Yeah.
And it gets him into like legal trouble because he's gotta be like a man about it.
Yeah. If he admits that they didn't fuck, he could get rid of the marriage. But he doesn't want to embarrass himself. So
I think that's when I learned the term like consummating a marriage. Like I didn't know. I just like never came across like my life before. I just never had a reason to know it. So yeah. I was like, what does that mean?
The other thing is about 30 Rock is that it's wildly ahead of its time in terms of like predicting things. Like, you know, I'm watching episodes that are 16 years old at this point, and like they're talking
about crazy.
They talked about essentially they had an episode where it's Seinfeld vision, where recycling old Larry's or Jerry Seinfeld. I called him Larry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld clips. And like inserting him into other shows, which is essentially deep faking. And it's like they're like, we're gonna use this archive that we have to generate new content. And that's what they're doing with voices now. They're like, we took all of James Earl Jones's Darth Vader voice, and now we don't need him to record anything. We can just AI it. And so like shit like that. I mean, it's such a smart show. Definitely a high recommend. We are going to transition now to the Patreon section. Ooh. Patreon, where you can hear about how.
Karma is my boyfriend. No.
Housewives.
All of the reality TV that 30 Rock.
I conveniently got to leave right about now. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, Eden's got to go. Man, that's a bummer. That's really tough for you, Eden. I'm sorry about that. But
I'm sorry.
Check out the Patreon. See you next week, mailbag fans.
We can wait. We can wait till we'll do a live stream. Just get on FaceTime. We'll do that.
Just let me go do my thing and okay.
You just want to talk about Love Is Blind real quick, Eden?